we're doing hundreds, if not thousands, a day of COVID-related cleanings for government institutions, for businesses across America, et cetera, helping them either stay in business if they're essential and do so in the safest way possible, or in many respects, helping them plan about how to open back up as various economies around the country are opening back up.
This week on the Courageous Podcast, we had Michael Stahl join us, the current CMO of ServPro and an old buddy of ours that we've helped rebrand a couple companies with, but really interesting story on what they're doing to fight this pandemic.
Yeah, if you don't know ServPro, they're the Good Housekeeping seal of approval for cleanliness. So you can imagine what companies need to turn to them right now to make sure they've got a clean environment for their workers and also consumers. We want to make sure that we're working with or dealing or coping with companies in that space.
Yeah, Mike shares a lot about how he saw an opportunity and the pivot they made, but also how he's done that previously in his career and how he thinks about fear. I just found it really interesting.
I mean, it's courage in everything he's done, the way he's been like communicating with the CEO to what they're telling the public. So enjoy the episode. Take a listen.
We're here today with Michael Stahl, the Chief Marketing Officer for ServPro. Michael and I and Ryan Berman all worked together, actually, back when you were at Kemper. And Berman, you worked with them even before that. But I had the opportunity to work with you, Michael, on a few projects. And you moved over to Health Markets and then to United Healthcare before ServPro. But just curious, how did you and Berman actually meet each other?
Do I remember?
I remember exactly the meeting.
I do. I think we're in San Diego in your fish tank offices.
Nope.
Are we talking about a physical meeting or like a phone meeting? We're working on my sort of social viral referral mechanism for Kemper, right? You know, which was our little like iMingle thing. I think that's when it was, right?
So we met at Geary Interactive.
Oh, yes, but you weren't at Geary. Geary, you were at Fish Tank, right?
Yes, but Geary had hired us.
Oh.
Andreas had hired us. So it was you and then the guy that went into beer. What was that guy's name?
Jeff Silver. Jeff Silver, he's apparently doing really well, right? You know, he thought insurance wasn't the way to go and just figured he'd make beer for a living. And he's doing well.
That's a pivot.
Quite a pivot. Yeah, that's a good theme for this for today. But yeah, so it was the two of you were meeting with Geary. And Geary and Andreas Roll, who was their CEO, had brought Fish Tank, my company, in to run strategy or creative, really.
Yep.
And then it was like, oh yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah. When can we start working together?
Yes. Yes, that's right. And what it was my cockamamie, you know, idea to create some sort of viral referral mechanism that was going to save customers money on auto and home insurance and reduce my marketing costs all at the same time. It was a kooky idea. It probably could still work, but that's what we were working on at the time.
That was like in 1987, by the way.
No. It felt like it. It almost wasn't that long.
So it didn't work?
Well, so the interesting one was that the company, so we call it Kemper now. Kemper was the main brand name. It was funny because this like happened to me again, where the company owned the name Kemper, but at the time wasn't using that as the brand. They were using, the brand was called Unitrin, which U-N-I-T-R-I-N. It's very hard to say. So I was trying to come up with a different brand anyway. But anyway, then like only say 12 months after we tried to launch this thing, the company decided to finally rebrand itself Kemper, which is a pretty well-known, respected insurance brand. And so it's sort of some of the concepts got melded into that Kemper brand over time. And so that's what happened to it, Ryan.
Interesting. I mean, you've redeveloped a whole bunch of product and obviously sitting in the CMO seat for a couple of companies, you know, you've had a lot of experience looking at brands, but the company and the brand you're working for now, ServPro, I mean, we're sitting here in quarantine talking over Zoom. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about how that's going. I know it's brand new for you, but they're on the front lines of fighting this pandemic. And we're just hoping to hear a little bit more about what you guys are doing.
Yeah. So, And as Zoom, I said what the probability of a child walking in on me during this podcast was, like we all have during our business meetings. And so that probability came to fruition. A 9-year-old number 2 child walked in and you're in this room. Okay. So plenty of us, our biggest challenge is figuring out how to navigate these kind of meetings every day, you know, but for most of Serpro, every day, Ryan, you used the word, right? We're on the front lines of confronting this crisis. And so Serpro is the number one brand in cleanup and restoration. Most of that means that when there's big emergencies, we're at the front lines of those. When there are hurricanes, when there are fires, both large weather related, but even personal ones, when you just have a pipe break in your house and flood your whole first floor, or you have a kitchen fire. Our Serpro professionals are the ones that are going in and mitigating that loss and cleaning it up and helping you reconstruct your home or your business. Okay. We do that every day. We've always done pathogen related cleanup as well. Most of the time that was influenza outbreaks at schools. They'd shut the school down. We'd come and disinfect the whole place, hazmat suits, the whole bit, right? And other related bloodborne pathogens, other versions of the same kind of a service. Well, so when COVID came along, we were naturally the first firm that many people thought of. And this goes back really even to the very beginning. When the U.S. government was bringing people back from Asia, January, February timeframe, you may remember they were putting them on military bases and quarantining them there. Well, we got the federal government and CDC contract to do all the cleaning and disinfecting. Again, guys going in hazmat suits, high level, viral pathogen disinfectants, really detailed, complicated processes to make sure that they are, they are going about the cleaning protocols properly. So we were on the front lines, back to that first instance of folks coming back to the country. Another good early example of that was the original hot spot was in Kirkland, Washington, at that nursing home, you may recall. Yep. We got called into that job. So those were the early days. Ever since, we're doing hundreds, if not thousands, a day of COVID-related cleanings for government institutions, for businesses across America, et cetera, helping them either stay in business if they're essential and do so in the safest way possible, or in many respects, helping them plan about how to open back up as various economies around the country are opening back up.
So what I love about you most, Mike, is that if I'm listening to this, I'm assumed you've been at the company for like 3 years, and this is sort of a normal fare for a cleaning company in a pretty catastrophic moment in American history. But like, you've been on the job for 3 weeks. Like, you've been on the job for, now how long have you been on the job for, honestly?
I think I'm up to 6 weeks. I think I'm at 6, maybe I'm on 7, right? 6-7 weeks.
All right. So listen, this is the other thing that just blows my mind. I think that your title is wrong, right? This is a lovingly way to say this. So this is not a backhanded compliment. So your title is Chief Marketing Officer, but you're really Chief Business Officer, right? Because you walked in there. The company was running a certain way, and you sort of delicately found an opportunity. Correct? I mean, can you walk through the pivot that you suggested for the business?
Yeah. So, I'll take any promotions you want to offer, Ryan. I don't think when they come from you, they come with any additional paycheck, but thank you.
I can make a phone call.
Okay. Okay. I saw us doing this good work all across the country, right? From those early days I mentioned up to today. And, I sat and I sort of listened and what folks around the company were talking about. I sat on client phone calls as well and sort of listened to their perspective. And this is only 3 weeks ago, I over a weekend, it sort of crystallized this concept, which we call now Certified Serpro Cleaned, sort of came to my mind. And so I walk into a Monday morning, I get on the Zoom of the Monday morning leadership call. And again, at that time I'd been in the company, that was like 3 weeks in, right? And most of these people I haven't physically met, right? And I say to all these people, we are going to be the authority on what it comes. Serpro is going to be what the authority on what it means to be clean in the new world. And we need to assert ourselves in such a way that all Americans will insist on the facilities that they walk into as a customer, as an employee, or et cetera, insist that those facilities must be certified CERPRO clean. Because, you know, today it's not, you know, from a cleanliness standpoint, it's not what you can see that's a concern, it's what you can't see, right? It's not the dust that people are worried about when they're talking about cleanliness. And so that's the sort of defining mantra. And I asked this whole organization of people, most of whom I haven't met, I said, I want you to raise your hand, proverbially hand, by sending me an email. I'm going to start an action team tomorrow morning where we're going to redefine our cleaning program in a packaged way called Certified CERPRO Clean that's going to deliver to our commercial clients and their customers, the people and employees, the people that are walking through the door, that higher standard of clean. And I, you know, I'll tell you, like, you know, a heartening thing to see that the energy at this, at CERPRO, at this organization. I had every single part of the organization raise their hand and say, I'm in, right? And we're, you know, we started a 2-week sprint of doing calls from, you know, 7 o'clock hour to past 10 p.m. every night to deliver this program. One thing that's core to its definition is what I realized, Ryan, was that commercial clients were asking us for three things. And I called it our three C's. They were asking us for three things. They wanted us to consult with them. They didn't know what kind of cleaning protocol to put in place to keep themselves, their employees, their customers safe and healthy, right? They didn't know what to do. They needed our expertise to help design a protocol that fits their needs and budget. So they needed us to consult. They needed us to clean, which is really two levels of cleaning. One is they needed a break glass when necessary emergency level cleaning. They have a COVID positive situation at location 123 Main Street. They're gonna have to shut down that location. They need to call us. They need us to be there in a matter of hours to do a COVID positive cleaning and get them back in business in a safe way. And so emergency cleaning, and they needed that defensive, proactive, regular cleaning that was going to help reduce the likelihood of that happening in the first place, reduce the spread of COVID. So, you know, consult, clean. And then the last thing they were asking from us was to certify, was to leverage the brand of CERPRO, the number one choice in cleanup and restoration, to leverage our brand to communicate to their employees and their customers the good work that they were doing in steps one and two, that they needed that third party authority, as I said, to validate and make people confident and secure in the spaces that they were patroning or working in. So that was the core essence of what Certified CERPRO Clean was in my mind. And in a 2-week sprint, we launched it to the world in about 18 days, which was amazing.
That's unbelievable, actually, and especially in a big organization and you're brand new. And so I've seen you do this before because we've had the pleasure of working together. Where does it start? I mean, you have these wonderful insights that you collected and you simplified down into the three C's. So you've gathered some knowledge, but like there had to be something in your gut. Like where did this idea start for you?
Boy, right, Thompson, I'm just like, where? I don't know that I know, but it really comes from honestly just like listening. I mean, you got to seek to understand, you know, before you can create your own understanding in a sense. And, so I don't, you know, you never know where these little sparks come from, but it really comes from listening to what's going on, the little elements of ideas that people were already having. And in maybe some ways I sort of brought it all together. As I mentioned, even going back to January, February, I wasn't part of the company at the time, but we're doing this work. We're doing this work out in the marketplace. It's around sort of packaging it in a way that really delivered, you know, all of the value proposition elements that people really demanded. So I was listening to internal folks on our team describe what was being done and the things that they were hearing. It was going on customer client calls and listening to those clients sort of wrestle with the apprehension around how to either stay in business or how they were gonna, you know, open back up for business. And then who knows how it triangulates in your brain, and some spark happens, and you got a program in your mind.
How often were you able to talk to people in the company on the front line? Did you get feedback all the way up the chain from the people actually out there doing the work?
Yeah, you know, and in fact, the Friday before my official start date on a Monday. So it's funny. I started March 23rd. And I live in Dallas. That's where I moved about 7.5 years ago to take the CMO job for Health Markets. The three of us rebranded that company. That's a fun story too. It was called InSphere Insurance Solutions Inc. That was a pretty courageous moment too. And now Serpro is based outside of Nashville, so I'm moving to Nashville. So I thought I was going to be flying back and forth. Right on March 23rd, we shut down the office. So I've been in Dallas ever since. But the Friday before, we were sort of still open, and I actually spent the day with some of our local office folks, right? Some of our local professionals in the Dallas area, Ryan. And so even before I started, I got that frontline perspective on what they're doing with respect to cleaning out in the marketplace, and sort of heard from them. In their case, you know, they're working with big brands and individual locations, but plenty of also small business owners, and what those guys were wrestling with every day, for sure.
I mean, they have to be dealing with a lot of fear. I would, you know, just protecting yourself, your family. I mean, have you heard those stories come up in conversation? And I mean, it's pretty courageous to be out there actually doing the cleaning.
Yeah, we have a courageous crew. So we have about 1,800 local office locations, and I don't know how many professionals support those. So probably 5,000, 10,000, something like that. Multiples more than our locations. They are sort of the next responders. This is not atypical for them. You know, as I mentioned, you know, when there's a fire in your home, the fire, you call, 911, and it's the firemen that show up and put out the fire. Our guys are the ones in next, right after that, cleaning it up and restoring your home. When there's a giant hurricane, we have huge storm teams of people who are descending on, you know, Houston, Texas, or wherever it is, right? Who, you know, in the aftermath are in there sifting through the wreckage and helping people put together their lives. So it's not atypical for them to go into, you know, these kinds of emergency-like situations. If there is any fear, it's a little bit, this is a villain that you can't see, right? We're used to, you know, seeing the wreckage, seeing the fire, seeing the damage that a hurricane does or water does. And this is one we can't see. But I will tell you, in constant surveys of our whole system, we don't get anyone who doesn't raise their hand day in and day out and say, you know, this is what, if not us, then who? Right? You know, mm-hmm. that we are the ones that have to don the hazmat suits, come with our proprietary CDC and EPA approved cleaning protocols, and come in and help reduce the spread of this virus. Because if not us, then who?
So you have this spark over the weekend. I mean, and again, I do want to make sure I give you credit as a marketer too, because I agree, like, great marketing is often hearing what's not said. It's like, it's in the margins if you really listen carefully.
Yeah.
But over this, you formulate this thought that, like, wait a minute, this has to happen, and who better than us to do it? It makes the most sense that we're most prepared to do it. At this point, is Rick Isaacson, is that the CEO? Is that correct?
Yep, correct. Rick Isaacson, the CEO, and he's also the son of the founder, right? It's a family-owned company going back to the 50s.
And is that who you have a line into? Is that who you're having this conversation with at first, or is it?
So I'm talking to over the weekend to Rick and our CEO and also our COO to tell him I'm going to come in on Monday, and I think this is a big thing, guys, and we're going to rally this whole company. And that, yeah, I've only been here for a few weeks, but this is our time to sort of stand up and really make it known what we can do to help in these times. And they were 100% supportive.
They were? I mean, was it a phone call or a Zoom?
Phone calls.
Okay, so is there any crickets on the other side? You're like, guys, I know I'm new here. By the way, my name is Mike Stahl. Thanks for hiring me. And, you know, was there any crickets? Was it quiet or did they go right in?
They, you know, first of all, Ryan, you guys know me, like I could talk. So if there's any dead space, like I fill it, I probably don't notice the crickets, but no, I don't think there, I mean, there was real engagement. They were really, you know, really excited about it. And, you know, again, you know, without full support and, you know, they allowed the entire organization, you know, to throw their weight behind us for sure.
So yeah. Here you are, you're not even in this city yet. I mean, still you haven't moved to your new home. And if I'm getting this right, there wasn't any additional training needed for the workers who are actually going out and attacking this invisible war.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing the work, right? We're doing the cleaning work, right? There's some, you know, sort of additional sort of, we have some additional training that sort of wrap into sort of how we want to do in particular our more repeated defensive cleaning protocol. It's all within the realm of stuff they're trained to do. There's more just sort of parameters around it. So there's some training that's had to roll out. There's plenty of marketing that's had to roll out. Lots of sales process changes, system changes, you know, internal communications. Imagine again, right? You know, this is a giant field organization with 1,800 locations around the country, right? So getting everybody on the same page for how to deliver this in a branded experiential kind of way, right? You know, it's been, you know, it was an effort that took every part of the company.
And again, some people in the company are probably like, who is this guy? Really? Week one, plenty. Week three?
Yeah. Yeah. Plenty.
But here you are. I mean, does the company, sometimes, you know, I always talk about sometimes you make believers, fake believers or fence sitters. Mm-hmm. So when you first sort of bring this to the table, obviously the people that were like on the call the next day were in, right? How big was that group?
Yeah. So our leadership call, that Monday leadership call, which is kind of, we'll talk key middle management and up is this call. And it's probably maybe 25 people, something like that, you know, 25, 30 people on this call, and nearly all of them, you know, raised their hand to join me on my 8 a.m. kickoff the next morning. Yeah.
And then since then, and I mean, you're now in the field, you're doing the work, and you're basically creating the certified standard, right? Like you are now the Good Housekeeping seal of approval for clean arenas, correct?
Yeah, that's what the certified SERPRO clean, you know, really in the end, the hero in some ways is we've got to do that good work on the front. You've got to have a you know, great cleaning protocol. We have to help you execute that protocol. Otherwise it's for naught. But in some ways, because everything we're doing in the end can't be seen, it's that certified SERPRO clean seal that we now let you to put in your window, or, you know, in table toppers that you put, say, at your checkout or at a receptionist desk, or digital badges on your website or on your Google My Business listing. You know, in many ways, that's the hero that communicates all that good work that you're doing in partnership with SERPRO, you know, on the front side.
And do you feel like the clients you are serving are, I mean, they probably have so many other things going on in their mind, like, thank goodness these guys are here.
Oh, they, well, so what's fascinating is, you know, I talked about sitting on client calls. I'm on client calls with, you know, CEOs, CMOs, right, CFOs, and commissioners of big sports leagues. And none of these folks, none of these men and women ever thought about cleaning their facilities ever for a second in their life, right? You know, before this time. And now the number one priority for the CEO and his team, his or her team, is, you know, how am I going to keep the physical premises that we do business in? How am I going to keep that place safe? Right. And so, yeah, they have a lot of anxiety about it. And to be able to, you know, have a firm like ours who has done this for decades, you know, dealt with viral pathogens, of varying types for decades, and to be able to help understand their businesses, the particulars of how that business operates, and help them build a protocol that's going to work for them is highly reassuring. For them to know that we're going to come and help execute that work, so they don't have to solely rely on training their own staff on how to, you know, clean at a higher level. For them to be able to rely on our brand to be able to communicate that to their customers and their employees, each one of those is a giant reassurance to those folks.
How have you, I mean, that's a pretty big lift in a short amount of time. So you obviously created a massive amount of trust with your C-suite. And then obviously the management team and the entire organization, they get behind you, they believe in the program and what you're rolling out. You know, as you're getting new clients, obviously there's immediate trust built right there. And you've influenced other companies. Like, what are some of the tools or things you do to build that trust so quickly?
Oh, that's good, Ryan. You know, that's a good question. Look, you have to, none of these things get done by any one person, right? We all know they get done together, right? And so you have to have a little bit of that philosophy that you're bringing people along and they are, you know, they are equal participants, you know? And they have to own this idea and this implementation or that, you know, whatever it may be, just as much as you. So that's one. Probably the other one is, you know, I can just be a passionate guy, and these types of experiences are, you know, and ideas happen to be really exciting. And I, you know, look, I'll tell you, I don't manage by Gantt charts and checklists and you know, project managing the heck out of people. You know, really, I manage by passion every day, right? I manage because people want to get the whole list of things done, because they think they're doing really awesome, interesting, meaningful work. And to me, at the end of the day, you do that, right? And you treat people like they're partners, you know, not servants or anything, right? They're in there with you. Then it's just a bunch of people having a lot of fun. And, you know, that's not so hard to get energy behind.
Were you nervous at all when you had this idea, or was it just all excitement? I mean, sometimes, you know, when you have something that, you know, hasn't been proven or you may be on the fence about as an idea, you know, sometimes that fear can creep in and maybe you don't push it forward. How do you get over the hump and make sure that, you know, you're pushing an idea forward that you're excited about?
Sure. There's probably always a little element of that. I mean, I think, Ryan's going to, I'm going to forget, you know, the exact sort of chapter in the book, Ryan's book about, you know, handling fears. And there's, I'm going to forget the list, Ryan. So you're going to have to chime in, right? You know, you got to gain knowledge and you got to, right, de-risk the whole thing and all that stuff. Anyway, so I had some nervousness a little bit, but I'm pretty comfortable with being courageous around this stuff. Like if you ask me, like, have I ever had a failure, I would tell you no, you know, as an example, right? And it's not because I haven't, like, you know, lost a few bucks or screwed some things up or whatever. I plenty of times, right? But, to have fear is to fear this some result, right? And that result would be some sort of failure. And I've had plenty of times where I've learned, you know, from stuff, but I've never had a failure. And so I have that sort of philosophy where I just don't worry about it. And then I try to control as a good business person, I'm trying to control the risk around the situation, not for me, but for the business, right? You know, so I'm trying to gather as much knowledge about the idea as I can. I'm trying to, you know, really crowdsource opinions and perspective, because there is wisdom in crowds in many ways. So make sure I'm talking about whatever it is in my head amongst others, which will help refine the idea, you know, come up with flaws and allow us to plug those flaws. And then I'm just financially trying to de-risk it too, trying to make sure that we're agile and nimble in assessing anything we ever do, such that even if things don't work out in the exact same way as we think, you know, we can pivot pretty nimbly, such that the actual impact, you know, is minimal. And if you set all that up, you know, there's not, you know, maybe you look bad in a deck presentation at some later date, but it's, that's nothing, right? That doesn't really matter, right? And so I don't know, in many ways, I probably think I've never, you know, I have, that's my philosophy. Probably if anything, to get over fear, Ryan, if I try to summarize it, it's that statement I was making in the middle, which is, I don't think I've ever had a failure. And it's because I think of it always as moments just to learn, pivot, improve, and move on.
It's, I mean, probably the most valuable point we've heard so far, like doing this podcast is that, like, when you can start to convince yourself that everything is just an experiment and it's a learning opportunity. And let me be really clear, like, for those of you who don't know Michael the way we do, Michael went to Wharton. Okay. This is not like he's just gutting it out or like there, he is you are a calculated business person in my opinion, but you never, I feel like you take your work seriously, but you don't take yourself that seriously unless it comes to having like an idea that you know there's an opportunity on and you can feel your passion when you present something. You took, by the way, I'm looking at your LinkedIn, your LinkedIn profile. Your LinkedIn
profile. Oh, I got to update that thing, but all right, go ahead.
Okay. Yes. It said, like, this is how great this is. Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Chief Marketing Officer at United Healthcare. Okay. So he hasn't even changed it yet.
Yes.
It's not changed. Yeah. and you've gone from this behemoth company where you did really, really good work and you courageously jumped into this new business that's probably a bit more agile. If you actually would have tried to take this idea and presented it at a behemoth like that, and I don't want to, like, we have this word, we're really, you know, gonna be careful the line here, but do you think you would have been able to pull this idea off in that organization?
Well, yeah, so yeah, background, right? You know, we talked, Berman, you and I were doing stuff back at Kemper. I went to Health Markets, which was called InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Try to say that three times fast, which was the leader in health insurance and Medicare distribution. And it was a Blackstone and Goldman owned company. And again, I'll reiterate, talk about something. Again, I was brand new within like 2 months. I actually said it in my interview. I said to them, you own the name Health Markets. Yeah. And you're a market for health insurance and like related products. Yeah. And you don't use that as your consumer brand. No, we call ourselves InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. And I, you know, even in my interview, I'm like, we got to change that. And like within 2 months, I, with your guys' help, rebranded that company. And that was a, you know, again, mid-sized Blackstone owned company. And we successfully sold it to United Healthcare. So United Healthcare, this is about a little more than a year ago, is the largest insurance company of any type in the world. It's the sixth largest, you know, on the Fortune. And they then made me the CMO of a $3.3 billion business, their individual business, which sounds really big. Yeah, it's like 1.5% of all of United Health Group, because it's a $240 billion company with 330,000 employees. So, you know, at Health Markets and even in the individual business, you know, could I have had something, you know, sort of this big of an idea and move the entire organization, you know, in one leadership meeting, essentially. I did plenty of times at Health Markets before, but going into United, it's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher, right? I mean, just imagine. Look, the reality is if you're the CEO, imagine you're the CEO of United Health Group, which is 330,000 employees, and you've got to sign those SEC docs every quarter and every year for the performance of your company. You know, you put a lot of command and control, you know, because how do you manage 300,000 people who you don't get to talk to, meet, or, you know, so there's a lot of that. It's a little less nimble to be able to just passionately come and pivot a whole organization in that way, for sure.
And when you take this job, by the way, Serpro also a Blackstone company?
Serpro is Blackstone owned, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's probably nice access to lots of companies that could use their services, especially now. But when you take this job, there's no, in your mind, you're not like, oh, the opportunity is this pandemic's coming and we're going to pivot.
No. When I took the job, so recall, you know, back at Kemper and before that, I worked at Travelers. That was property and casualty insurance. So I don't have any idea how I got into this whole, you know, my whole life has been in insurance. But Serpro, as I mentioned earlier, the core of their business before now cleaning is like the top performing part of the business right now. But most years cleaning is like third or fourth, and the top parts are are handling water losses and fire losses, right? Those are losses that are covered by your homeowner's policy or your commercial property policy. So I've known of Serpro. In fact, Serpro has been a partner of mine back when I was in property and casualty before I was in health and Medicare. So I've known them. I thought of them from a property and casualty standpoint. And that's that background. So my Blackstone background, my property casualty background, you know, and really Health Markets was also a large field organization running a field organization, was sort of the intersection points between my background and Serpro, and obviously functionally, you know, being a CMO and stuff like that. So I thought of it as a property and casualty play, right? And my joke actually, Ryan, was I have executive led every part of an insurance company: underwriting, reinsurance, call centers, marketing, product, finance, every part except for claims. And Serpro's on the claims side. They come handle the claims. The great part about Serpro is the claims aren't losses, they're revenues. So that's the great part, you know, leaving the insurance side. So no, I thought of it that way. I didn't think about the cleaning side, and that cleaning is, you know, now where we've stepped up our game.
If anyone, you know, is, you know, taking note, right? So this is, Drew says, like, I'm going to stick around. I'm new at this job, and I'm going to have to listen. I'm going to interview everyone before I open my mouth. I'm going to wait a year before I make change. Or, hey, down here, it's not even on the podium of revenue generators for the company. Right? It was, or maybe it was third. Maybe it was the bronze medal for the company, maybe, but probably fourth. And just by having the courage to go, you know what, this is the right opportunity. It's not opportunity. It's not being opportunistic for the sake of it. We kind of need you, right? The country needs you right now.
Yep.
But in a month from going, okay, we need this now, and I'm gonna act on it. And I got to tell you, and to be fair, if this is for Ryan and for John, my partners on the podcast. You know, we've recorded 6 or 7 of these already for our first season. And to be fair, this is probably going to be closer to the front because it makes a lot of sense to be talking about COVID. But no more than 2 weeks ago, we recorded a Navy SEAL named Jeff Boss. And if I looked at Jeff Boss and I looked at you, I'd be like, well, there's one that's clearly the Navy SEAL and there's one that isn't a Navy SEAL. Well,
thank you, Ryan. Thank you. thank you.
But
you're saying I don't work out enough. Thank you. All right, go ahead.
You've been busy, Mike. You've been busy.
Yeah. Okay.
But the level, the doses of courage are between the ears are the same. You know, it's clearly the same. Like the idea that courage is only for military people is one of the myths we're trying to take down. Like courage is there for any opportunistic gender that wants to take it and make the most of it and take action off of it. And this story, and what lights you up, I also think is keeping your company's relevant and helping them pivot, and it's so clear in the story. So I just hope the listeners go like, why not you and why not now?
Look, I agree, Ryan. Like, I mean, I think it comes back to Thompson asking me about the fears and stuff. Like, not having fear of failure, you know, being able to manage through that, things really truly don't become failures that are career ending, blow up your company. You know, there's plenty of ways to manage any of your passions in a way that it lets you accentuate all of the positives in terms of going after your dreams and mitigate the downsides. There are ways to sort of, you know, organize your thinking and, you know, how you attack these things. And when you do, it frees you to just, you know, honestly, like really dig in with a lot of energy and passion and excitement, and becomes, you know, just incredibly intellectually and otherwise just a lot of fun. And when you're doing that, you can do anything. You can do anything. You know, I'll tell you, like, one of the ways I describe our certified Serpro Clean program also is I don't know that I've had plenty of fun ideas over the years. I don't know if I've had any that hit the trifecta. And this is the trifecta, right? One is we get to expand on the good work and important work that we are doing, you know, on the front lines every day across the country. So we get to do good work, right? Expand on our good work. Two, look, let's be honest, right? It's a big financial opportunity, right? We're cleaning every facility around the country, right? We keep expanding that. There's revenue attached to it, right? And three, what's amazing about this idea is that because people need to leverage our brand with the certify step, right, of Consult Queen and Certify, they're going to pay us. We're going to do good work, and they're going to pay me. Those are the first two. They're to put my brand in their window and on their website. So when have you ever, when have I ever come up with or heard of an opportunity that we get to do good work, have great financial upside, and expand the presence of the brand all at the same time? It's incredibly exciting to me.
So to have an idea like that, you have to have some foresight, some vision, and obviously insight, but inspiration to get there comes from somewhere, right? Like when you feel passionate about something or you have a vision with a purpose behind it, like how do you get there? A lot of people get cloudy, right? It's like hard to see through the fog or to push for something, but sometimes you just have this innate response that allows you to kind of see through it. What are things that you use to inspire you? Like, how do you get to like these places where you have vision for like where the company should go or the brands that you're steering should go?
You know, it's a good question, Ryan. Like I maybe have the luxury, right, of choosing where I've gotten to work, right? And I wouldn't do it if I didn't, you know, I wouldn't have come to Serpro if I didn't already, even before, we've accentuated all of our cleaning work. If I didn't really believe in the mission that we have, which is, you know, is in the essence really to help people put together back their lives in many respects, right? When something bad happens to them, to me that already, so that was inside embedded within the organization, right? Before me and before I even layered on certified Serpro cleaned as an element to that. So, you know, that's important. You know, we talked about my work in health markets before. I mean, every day we were helping people find the right health insurance, Medicare, you know, et cetera, for them and their families, which in the end was helping them protect, you know, what matters most to them, their health and financial well-being, right? Having the right, right health insurance plan or right Medicare plan, you know, has a massive financial impact because it's one of the most costly, expenditures, both the insurance side and actually when you go to use care. And it massively impacts your personal health with what care you have access to. So those are just two examples where the underlying mission of the organization and the good work it does every day is inspiring, right? So that's like, you know, an amazing starting point, right? Other than that, I mean, we all can be inspired by plenty of things in our own personal lives that you want to do good, you know, good for, right? You know, I got a great crew at home. You know, you want to make them proud and feel like you're what you're doing and spending a lot of your time away from them every day is making the world a little bit better, you know, a little bit of a better place. And so, so you think about those kind of things too.
Gotta say, my I thought we almost were gonna meet one of them. By the way, the 9-year-old who walked in. So, we'll get him on the next
podcast. He's a really good lefty pitcher, Ryan. Really good. You couldn't hit his slider if you tried.
You're probably right. And again, just to give a little bit more context on Mike, the type of daddy is. Don't you videotape the kids too and show it back to them?
On their recording, are their baseball work and stuff?
Of course.
Of course. Just yesterday, I was showing a before and after, like 6 months ago, picture of my 11-year-old. You know, we were changing up his throwing motion with a pitching, a guy who is local to Dallas, who's second round draft pick for the Nationals. I'm gonna help us on, and he's got full layback, Ryan. Like he's finally got his arm parallel to the ground, which is really does some nice elbow damage if I think about it. But anyway, yes, of course we work meticulous on that stuff. That's fun too. It's fun. They're not going to be major league baseball players, but it's fun.
I'm clearly parenting wrong. Like there's zero video, like rewinding. If I did it, it'd be like a putting puzzles together. I'm like, well, Michael, what you want to do is you want to start with the corners here. You get all the corners first. Okay. Let's reverse the tape here. See here, that's not a corner. Anyway, it's nice to see you're just as meticulous at home as you are in your work. And as a final note, you know, what I'm excited about, honestly, isn't just to watch the impact you've already had, but, you know, when you try these experiments and companies kind of give you permission to try those things, and they work out, it makes it easier to do it again and again and again. So, you know, courage sort of breeds courage here. So it's going to be fun to see what's the next idea you come up with as the chief business officer. And we look forward to seeing that here. And thanks so much for your time today.
Yeah, of course. This was fun. Great to hang out with you guys.
Join us next week on the Courageous Podcast. We're joined by our brain Sherpa and PhD, Dr. Nicholas Alp.
If you enjoyed the episode, please give us 5 stars, subscribe, and leave us a comment.